This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey, you're listening to Open for Business, and joining us on the show this morning is Matthias Keller, Chief Scientist and Senior Vice President of Kayak. On the surface, Kayak is an extremely popular travel booking platform for flights and hotels, but underneath all that is an accumulation of different technology and information processing methods that have, more than once actually, that have changed the way travel platforms work today. Kayak is a pioneer in the field, and that's in part thanks to the team at Kayak Labs, who figured out how to use this tech to better understand Kayak's customers. I wanted to talk to Matthias about that technology that's always ahead of the curve, as well as how data has helped travel platforms like Kayak learn things about their customers that just wasn't possible before. Take note, this interview took place on-site at the Web in Travel conference in Singapore, so it might get a bit noisy in the background. First off, what is data science? Like, what does data science entail for a company?
So, data science is a term, I think it really got traction in the previous 3, 4, 5 years. What it really means for us is that it's the application of algorithms that make a decision for us. It's all based on math, of course. And where these algorithms help us is that if you look at Kayak, we have, in a way, a problem where we have too much and too little data. When you go to Kayak and search, we search hundreds of providers. So there's a lot of data that we are getting just for your search. So in a way, it's too much. But on the other hand, you're probably only interested in this one flight. And you may have questions like, does this flight have Wi-Fi? How is the seat distance? Is there going to be food on the flight? How often is this flight on time? And we're soon running into this situation that there are not so many choices that are interesting for you. And we have to, out of that massive amount of data that we started, we have to find the few options that are actually interesting for you. And we have to bring them up for you. And I think a better example is even hotels, where we need to use machine learning and data processing algorithms all the way. It starts with that, think about a hotel. We get it from dozens and hundreds of different sources. They all have slightly different data. So we have to make sure that we get the best description of all of that. We have, again, dozens and hundreds of images. And we need algorithms that identify the images that express and describe the hotel in the best way. And it gets even worse with reviews, where we have, again, millions of reviews in total, but it can easily be a few thousand hotels per hotel. And again, you don't want to read them all. But we have to find out, what is this hotel about? And also, we cannot read them all ourselves. So we need algorithms that summarizes the reviews, that point out the most trustworthy reviews, that point out the most relevant reviews, and that get all that information that's the most important one for the hotel. So that in a way, we can show that to you and you can easily find out what this hotel is about and if that is what you're looking for.
Okay, so there's so much information coming in relation to Kayak, like so much information coming in that needs to be filtered and understood. Where is this data coming from?
There are a couple of different data sources. There is when we look at flights, there is, of course, the official route database where all the airlines are publishing what flights they are, when they leave, where they land. And the first thing that we get there is that is pricing. So depending on what you're looking for, there are, let's say, 20 different OTAs and direct options where you can get that same flight. And because availability changes and they all may have different agreements, you may have different prices across these different OTAs. And we also even started to collect reviews on airlines. So if you're taking a flight and you're using our Kayak Trips tool, at the end of the flight, we will send you a survey. How was that flight? And you have the chance to tell us like what you thought about this airline and this flight, and similar as to ranking a hotel. And then what's even more important is when you look at flights, it is the standard way how it gets sorted is by price. But we also, again, already in flights, we call out what we think are the best options. These are based on what other users preferred. And the same happens to hotels, where this is even more seen. If you look at hotels, the recommendations you get, they're based on what generally people who use Kayak think are hotels where they want to stay. But if you are a heavy Kayak user, and we also know more about your own preferences, it's even tailored and personalized towards your preferences, because we have seen before what you liked. So there's also this data sources, like at the finest level, it is really also your preference that goes into these algorithms of finding out what's the right flight and the right hotel for you.
Okay. Is that why Kayak Labs was established? Like what's the role of Kayak Labs in the company?
Kayak Labs is a name for us of a small team of data scientists and engineers who are, on one hand, working on problems like how do we find and recommend flights and or how do we make recommendations. But it is also the place where we are looking into really very new technologies such as chatbots and voice computing and generally more broader consumer-facing AI. One example of that is our chatbots on the Facebook Messenger that we released in 5 different languages, and also our integration with Amazon Alexa, where we allow users in the United States even to book hotels with only their voice on these devices.
Okay, so Kayak recruited about 80 plus employees to work on its tech team from 2016 to 2017, so within that year. Basically, it's like you're an internal tech hub for new solutions, like coming up with new tech and new ways to do this, while also being a travel platform. So there's two fronts. You design the technology and you can pretty much put it to the test on Kayak's platform itself.
One simple separation to look at it is just in classic in software, like a front end and a back end. So we have a lot of integrations on the data side. We're trying to have our goal for the product is to have the most comprehensive, meaning all options available, and the most accurate, also meaning showing the right prices product. So we are always working on adding more data sources to our platform. And we also want to make sure that the search at the same point stays fast, is easy to use, and gives the right results. And then there's the front-end part where we are making the data accessible via our desktop websites, our mobile apps, our mobile web pages, and also these newer platforms such as Amazon Alexa, our integration with Facebook Messenger, our integration with Slack, and all different ways that are not as common as desktop today, but that may play such a role in the future.
I want to talk about Alexa and Facebook Messenger. Kayak was the first, sort of like the first company to use Amazon's Alexa and Echo to make bookings. But that wasn't the original idea. Like the integration actually started while you were experimenting with something else.
So what happened here is that about 2 years ago, we really started to get very interested in understanding conversational ways of searching for flights. And hotels and everything. So the interesting thought we had is that when you today go to our website, you usually say where you want to go. You can open the calendar. You can pick your dates. You can start the search. And it's not very natural in a way that you cannot just say like next weekend. You cannot just say like Friday to Saturday. You cannot just say like Thanksgiving, which is a very popular holiday in the United States. And there are, If you also think about it, if you compare, if you go down and you want to be more specific, you either end up that you need to, if you want to have like a form that covers all possible options, it's a very complicated form that has like 15 different checkboxes and all these kind of knobs and dials. While on voice, it is very easy, like in a simple form, to just say what you're looking for. So all these sorts led us to investing into natural language processing and trying out different ways how that could help our users to interact with our site. And we found that it wasn't the right fit to, let's say, simply put it on a web page. We also found that it doesn't really make sense in terms of like users didn't want to speak into their browser, even on the mobile phone, because they had to open the browser. And so they were already touching the phone and interacting with their hands anyways. But we found that that the natural language processing part helped in the two places of chatbots that, let's say, operate with a keyboard, and also, on the other hand, chatbots that are fully conversational in natural language, initially without any display and without any keyboard, which was back in the time Amazon Alexa. The first devices had no display and nothing. It is now actually taking some turns and changing. So what we see now is that the display is coming in again. It is multimodal. It is talking and swiping through a display, making some light actions on the display. We also see it coming, combinations of voice and large screens like on the TV. And so this is a very nice conversational experience where where users can just say by talking what they are looking for and navigate the results. And eventually, and we think that this is the future, eventually also will really book more and more travel using that way.
I'm joined by Matthias Keller, Chief Scientist at Kayak, and we are getting geeky about the tech that drives Kayak's travel platform. More after the break, BFM 89.9.
Billions from me, BFM 89.9, the business station.
And we're back on Open for Business. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and we are talking data, algorithms, and machine learning with Matthias Keller, Chief Scientist and Senior Vice President of the very popular travel platform, Kayak. Just take these figures. Kayak processes over 2 billion searches a year for travel information, and with every query, Kayak searches hundreds of other travel websites to show travelers the information they need to find the right flights, hotels, car rentals, holiday deals, all that stuff. This interview took place on-site at the Web and Travel Conference in Singapore, so it might get a bit noisy in the background. What have you learned from that? Like the process of pioneering and working with voice commands and voice assistants and stuff?
I think it was a very interesting journey being really on the early front pioneering this, because it was a time when basically everyone started trying to figure it out, seeing what works and what doesn't work. The only way to approach this is to really rapidly iterate, which is something which is part of how we build our product, that we have an idea, we start building it, we start testing it against the current status in an A-B experiment where we run different versions of our site. And while there's no A-B experimentation yet on the messenger, it fits to our methodology of iterating very fast and seeing what happens, seeing how people react, iterating, see if it works better, see if it improves the experience. And then the learnings we made is that we got a really much deeper understanding of type of things and questions make sense on which of these interactions and which don't make so much sense. And one example is that Facebook Messenger, for instance, is extremely powerful and unbeatable when it comes to a social context. Like, you are in a group chat inside Facebook Messenger, and without that direct integration with Facebook Messenger, there is no good way how you would really plan travel with anyone in there. You wouldn't really see what it is about. You would have to open it. And now with the bot, you can basically copy over these responses, and they have all the information nicely formatted in there. And it's easier to go back and forth between the Kayak tab and the group tab in your Facebook Messenger.
Were there any findings? Like what was the feedback like from a customer's perspective?
What we found in some interesting data points we can share is that, for instance, on the Facebook Messenger, we saw that the engagement became much better when we didn't always ask the users to fully type out the next step, but we gave them these little suggestion chips on how to continue the conversation. Like, for instance, you want to search for a flight, and we first of all have to find out from where you want to fly out from, like what's your origin is. And instead of always having to type that, we can show a little suggestion chip saying, like, send my location. So, like, you can tap and you send us your location. You can do similar things when it comes to, like, asking you for the dates, because we know that, for instance, hotel reservations, there is a really strong share of users who are looking for hotels in the next 2 days, either tonight or the night after. So we can suggest that for you. We know that there is, it's very common that you stay either one or two nights. So that's something we can suggest you as well. And it makes the conversation much, much faster. Always like in almost like in a chess game, give you the next step of this is how you continue versus having you to type, 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 and type. On Alexa, what we found is that it is on the one hand very critical that the conversation has to, the way how she talks has to be very natural. And it's also important that we always give the user a chance to correct when something went wrong. So either kind of like, we immediately see that this is not going to work, and we ask again, like, what did you really mean? I understood this. This doesn't make sense because I'm looking for that. And there it is really important to have this bulletproof experience, because users get really frustrating and abandoned immediately if they have an unsuccessful experience and there seems to be no way around the problems. And there it is really key to make sure that even if there is, like, if we find that there is a sort of like a speed bump somewhere, that we fix that immediately, because otherwise users are going to drop off very fast.
Okay, so, you know, talk about what this did for you or to Kayak as a company. Like what kind of an advantage was it for Kayak, especially being, you know, so ahead of the curve? Because you were working with Echo and Alexa even before Amazon approached you, right? So how much of an advantage was that working with these tools even before people knew they could be used in this way?
I think we haven't seen the full answer to this yet. We see that the sales of these devices, they seem to be very successful. So like in the United States, it is hard to meet anyone who doesn't have at least one of such devices yet. I think the first thing that it helps to be early there is that being there early means that when you are like the only choice, that people are going to automatically select you because they're looking for travel, and hopefully they're staying. So I think it gives the head start in terms of like building a critical mass and building a population of users who are creating a user base. But I think what's even more important is going to be the learning of understanding the technology. And we may not yet be at the final phase of this technology, and it will still evolve rapidly in the next years. It's hard to say what this will mean, but in Alexa, you can think of more displays, you can think of it being in more places, you can think of certain more capabilities, and it will just, I think, become harder and harder to understand this complex system, and while growing up with it, we could start understanding it while it was very simple, and so it is easier for us to also understand the more complicated scenarios later, instead of entering when everything is already so evolved and so complex to follow.
So obviously you're dabbling in the NLP space now, or natural language processing. NLP is a very interesting space, but it's also very new and sort of like untapped. What are some of the possibilities you see happening as NLP perfects itself?
NLP is very interesting because there is on the one hand the conversational travel that gets enabled by it, where we need to break down what a user is talking about, or we need to break down what's the intent of the user. We then need to convert that into a sort of like a knowledge lookup, find what's the correct answer, and then we need to respond back. And we also like, because travel is like a multi-step process, we need to keep track of a conversation. But it's not only about, let's say, chatbots. It's also like the problems such as millions of user-generated reviews that are all written in text, and we want to summarize them. We want to find the best of them. We want to, condense them. We want to tag them. We want to categorize them. This is something about the beach. This is something about the rooms, and this is all where natural language comes in. And there are even more evolved use cases. Like I think most data users. Users may give us is usually in a way unstructured. Like there is one part of our product where you can use Kayak to manage your trip. So basically you forward all of your receipts, you forward us your flight receipts, you forward us your airline, your hotel receipts and all that. And we put it together in a nicely structured timeline. And also there we are facing problems that if you think of kind of like how many airlines and how many different hotels and how many whatnot, we need a robust system that basically can get any sort of email forwarded by you and identify, is this a hotel, is this a flight, what are the dates, where's the confirmation number, and get all that structured data out of unstructured information.
Yeah. NLP is obviously not perfect. You can still fairly easily tell the difference between a human voice and something that's generated on a computer. So how close are we in terms of NLP replicating human speech? Like where's NLP now in terms of, you know, its own trajectory where one day it'll finally, you know, mimic and sound exactly like we do?
This is a great question because I could see the risk that it's chasing these last 5% may take a couple of many more years. I think the good news here for us is that Kayak, for the time being, we will always be in the travel domain. So we're only really using a small subset of natural language. And this makes it easier for us to have more precise, more accurately trained systems that are living in this small part of the vocabulary, which is travel. And that means that we should earlier be able to provide a solid experience despite natural language processing in terms of high literature not being there yet. We are really only looking at the subset of our domain where we want this to be acceptable in a form that users can be successful with it, and that it's really making their task easier and helps them to get done what they want to get done.
We're going to take a quick break for some messages, but we'll be back in a bit with Matthias Keller, Chief Scientist at Kayak on BFM 89.9.
Beyond frivolous mishmash, BFM 89.9.
You're still listening to Open for Business on BFM 89.9, and our guest this morning is Matthias Keller, Chief Scientist of Kayak. Now, Matthias was one of the first people to experiment and explore the possibilities of working with voice assistants like Amazon's Echo and Alexa when making bookings or in the process of making bookings. This led to the idea of incorporating natural language processing in the travel tech sector as well, something that everybody is starting to adopt today. This interview, by the way, took place on site at the Web in Travel conference in Singapore, so it might get a bit noisy in the background. Okay, so you're saying we're about 5% away from NLP being perfected. Why is that 5% so difficult for the machine at the moment? Like, what is its struggle?
So when you look at natural language processing, so there are different steps that all have their different challenges, and I think so. There is a step where it goes from speech to text, and I think this is just challenging to, I think that the systems that are out there today, they are very impressive how pretty much everyone can use them without having to train them. They just work out of the box. And also there's now support for many different languages. Still, I can imagine that, or these systems, I think they still need a little bit of patience in terms of what speed the user is talking and sort of some clarity there. I think what is more interesting is just the ambiguity in language. Languages are done in a way that if you change one word at the depending on the language, if you change one word at the end or at the beginning, you say something totally different. And I think these are the cases where the machines are still struggling today. Probably this is related to the amount of available training data. Maybe this is likely going to get better the more and more samples there are, and the better the training data gets. But I think that still this will probably be an issue that, depending on language, will be there for a very long time, that it will still be very hard for machines to get these little nuances. And there are many different things if you think about it, when you talk to a human, there is so much in how fast the person is speaking, the tonality, and all that. And I think there's research that tries the machine to also react to these type of cues in natural language. But my understanding here would be that it is still, that's these things that are far out. And it's hard to say if it's 5% that is missing or if it's 10% that is missing. But I think what I would say is that it's probably the long tail that is going to take a very long time.
What are some of the challenges you're facing now at Kayak, in terms of collecting data, analyzing data, applying data?
I think the probably number one challenge is the scale. We are going to have the amount of reviews is only going to get more and more and more, and also the amount of things that you can book on Kayak is constantly growing as well. And a simple example here is that initially there were hotels and only hotels, and let's say hotels have been growing really rapidly from maybe 500,000 to 1 million. But it's no longer only about hotels. It's also now about non-hotel accommodation, which is our terms for vacation homes, private persons renting out their apartment. And this easily adds another 1 million and probably over time even more different possible accommodations where you can stay. So there's a lot of scaling of just the data becoming more and more. There is the users generating more and more content. And I think a challenge that is ahead is that when we look at the user-generated content today, we are only looking at written text. But there is so much more because there could be images that have a lot of information about a trip or about a hotel. And in the future, maybe users can even dictate their reviews to us, and we then transcribe them from voice into text to then apply all the other different steps. that will be even like a massive, that will be like an order of magnitude growth of data if you start going from text to kind of like rich multimedia, like images and voice recordings. Or even videos, exactly, that you would integrate in your product to get information about the quality of a certain hotel or kind of like what's important about the destination and all that. And so it's really that the data is just going to grow and rapidly grow, yeah.
What are you excited about when it comes to data science, analytics, NLP? Like, what excites you about the future of all this tech and how can it be, you know, how it can be implemented in the travel sector?
So the stage where we are right now is that there has been a tremendous amount of work put in by large corporations and by the research community around the world to create a very strong and powerful set of tools that allow now basically everyone to, let's say, train neural networks and use all these tools. And what is also more exciting there for the application of bigger data is that there's really a lot of computing power now available with GPUs that can be used to train neural networks faster and to work on machine learning problems faster. And algorithms will be very helpful in that whole journey of identifying for you what's relevant and giving you all the information available. But also there are so many little things that can be improved while you are traveling. Like, for instance, one example that is really a pain point in the United States is that it's not very clear. You always have to go to security checkpoint, of course, and it is not always clear how long you're going to wait today. It is very seasonal or like very dynamic based on how many other people are flying out. Is there like major vacation? A couple of years ago, we started crowdsourcing that data, like asking travelers, how long did it take you to get to security? There are more of such examples where there are pain points, and this is now not machine learning, but we now, one pain point we found is that it's very unclear if there are different sizes of bags that you can bring into an overhead bin. And it is unclear if your bag is going to fit. So usually you find yourself looking at an airline webpage and they have a couple of dimensions and you find yourself finding a meter and starting to measure. And we now can do that in our app with the help of AR, where you point your camera on your bag and we tell you the dimensions of your bag. And we also tell you on which airlines it's going to qualify as a carry-on luggage and where it is not going to qualify. There are also other interesting solutions like finding out if there is maybe a better price somewhere else and you should like cancel your hotel again and get a new hotel. And there are many different things that can be done once we build systems that are very accurate and very trustworthy in the decisions that they make.
Right. I've been speaking to Kayak's chief scientist, Matthias Keller, about travel tech, data, and what the future of the industry looks like here on Open for Business. Download the BFM app to listen to this interview again, or check us out under the podcast section on Spotify. We are there as well. This has been Arvind Yuvaraj with Matthias Keller on Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.